I'd like to start by saying a little about the nature of the yanas. The word yana means vehicle in Tibetan, it's tegpa. I have a feeling that Buddhism might be unique in having yanas, or vehicles. I'll explain what's meant by a vehicle. Every religion seems to have some kind of a secret teaching, or a more reserved teaching, or a deeper layer of teaching in some way, but I don't know if these have the appearance of a yana. I'll explain what a yana is. A yana is constituted of base, path, and result. This is how you define a yana. The base is the individual level of experience, where the individual is. The path is how the individual proceeds from that base toward a goal. For a humdrum example of that, you've all come from your separate homes here. Some of you have journeyed further, stayed the night somewhere perhaps. I came from Penarth in South Wales. So we each have a different base, because this is, if we call this the goal, then how we got here will be contradictory. If I am in some way obsessed with the path as I know it, I will say you can only get here from Penarth. So wherever you live, be it Arizona or wherever, you have to go to Penarth first before you can come here. This is an example that deliberately makes the situation ludicrous. It depends what the base is, what the path is. Now, the Buddhist vehicles have bases at different levels of experience. We'll divide them here into Sutra, Tantra, and Dzogchen. This is a stratification of the yanas that is not the common one according to the Nyingma tradition, but it's the stratification according to Dzogchen. With the Nyingma tradition, we have the nine yanas, and these are described in a certain way. I won't go into that because it's a lot more elaborate. But the point of view of Dzogchen is of the three yanas, Sutra, Tantra, and Dzogchen, and they each have a principle that needs to be understood. Sutra has the principle of renunciation. Tantra has the principle of transformation. Dzogchen has the principle of self-liberation. So what is meant by renunciation, and why renunciation? Renunciation has to do with the fact that we are form attached. We define ourselves according to form. If we want to say anything about our existence, we mention something to do with form, as in Descartes, I think, therefore I am. So I am because something exists. I have a car, therefore I am. I go on holidays to somewhere, therefore I am. I have a husband, wife, therefore I am. I have a job. We define ourselves. So renunciation is the process of letting go of definitions of being. The goal is emptiness, the experience of emptiness, of non-referentiality. I don't refer to anything in order to exist. So this path is characterized by renunciation in many different ways, according to practice, according to lifestyle. One becomes a monk or a nun, one wears a certain costume, one becomes celibate, one shaves off the hair. Now, in terms of Tantra, the principle is transformation. So the base of Tantra is the goal of sutra. The base of tantra is emptiness. So because the base is emptiness, the path deals with the transformation of form from the perspective of emptiness. It's not a path of renunciation. It's a path of realizing the non-dual nature of emptiness and form. So the goal is non-duality. So in terms of Tantra, one is not renouncing form, but one is unifying form and emptiness. This is very much a principle within Tantra. So the path is different. Our neuroses are not cut off, abandoned, undermined. Our neuroses become part of the path. We come to understand that whatever our neuroses are, they are simply a distortion of the realized state. And because our neuroses are a distortion of the realized state, they partake of the realized state. And we are able to enter into the realized state through our own neuroses. And there are various practices associated with this in terms of either visionary practices or practices of energies and channels. Dzogchen, as I said, is the path of self-liberation. What is meant by self-liberation is not liberation of the self, for the self, by the self. Self here, the Tibetan word is rung, which means of itself. So it's got nothing to do with having a self, or self as we usually understand the term. Self-liberation means of itself, it liberates itself. There is no method employed, there is no other adjunct. Does everyone follow that? You see, how you divide the yanas is also method. And in the different schools, they divide the yanas in different ways. Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana is an historical division in terms of how Buddhism arose. You have other divisions like the nine yana system of the Nyingma tradition. Then you have a division in the Gelug school that is different again, where they talk about Hinayana and Mahayana, and then they divide Mahayana into exoteric and esoteric Mahayana. So that Vajrayana is then known as esoteric Mahayana. Now the principle of this is that Vajrayana does not have a unique base in that system. That means that Vajrayana has to be approached through sutra and has to be understood according to sutra. So that Vajrayana is a subset. For people who've heard me before, I'm sorry about this. I always go on about the yanas because I'm interested in world peace. And having an understanding of the yanas is extremely important in terms of being able to hear a teaching, to travel somewhere and hear different teachers, because there's a certain problem we have in the West that is unique to this period of time, I guess. If you don't stay with the religion of your birth, or if your parents happen to be atheist or whatever, if some idea later comes up that I'm interested in religion or spirituality of some kind, you then have to make a choice, which means you have to examine things, you have to go out and look at things and see what is there. So we have the wonderful world of weekend workshops, and people come to them and they hear this person speak and that person speak, and then if they like something, then they stay there. That's what happens at best. At worst, people just drift around forever, listening to all kinds of different people speak, getting increasingly confused. Even if one comes to the conclusion that one wishes to follow Buddhism, there's still a great deal of difference in the different Buddhist traditions, and it's extremely useful to understand the nature of the differences because they are contradictory. But there is no problem in the fact that they are contradictory, because method is by its nature contradictory with other methods, because a method is based on where you are. So a method that is based here will contradict a method that's based there, even though the fruit is the same. Because the bases are different, the methods will contradict each other. Now, being raised in a Judeo-Christian culture, we are generally fixated on the idea of truth. And Buddhism is not truth. This usually horrifies people when I say this. Buddhism is method. But if we approach Buddhism as if it were truth, and this is how it's approached in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the three religions of the book, and they deal with truth. Buddhists don't really deal with truth apart from experience. If you're looking for truth in Buddhism, it is called Tongpa Ni, Shunyata, emptiness. Everything else is method. If you could name it, it is method. So it's really valuable to understand this, and if you do understand it, then you never have problems with sectarianism, or other problems with being sectarian. Because if you find something different, and you have an understanding of the jhanas, you can work out why it's different. And then there's no contradiction, or no problem with a contradiction. Now, this is not merely the case in Buddhism, but if you have an understanding of this, you can also look at other religions and work out why they do what they do. You may not work it out in the same way as they'd work it out, but you can get an understanding and see the value of any kind of practice. This is really useful, and it seems that one can't hear this teaching enough, because one usually gravitates back into an idea of there being some reality which you can hang on to. The Arete tradition is largely an Ati Yoga or Dzogchen Terma. And although it contains Mahayoga and Anuyoga, both of those are approached from the view of Ati Yoga anyway. So whenever anything is taught from this tradition, it has the character of Dzogchen.